from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Curry on WVON AM 1690.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self? Our country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, make God thy gold refine. Be nobleness and ever again divine. And you know, when I was in school, we used to sing it something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far spacious sky.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. It is September 14th. America's Heroes Group, of course, is here, and we are proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977, America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, partner with sponsor National Women's Veteran United. National Women's Veteran United is 8620 South Pulaski, lower level, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. The office number is 872-731-2150. Website, www.nwvu.org. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by Pearl's Place, Down Home Southern Cooking at 3901 South Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, 877-275-5852. And we are so pleased to be here today. And, of course, America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Jesse Brown, VA Works. And we're going to be, September is Suicide Prevention Month. I'm the host, Cliff Kelly. Executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And we are pleased to have everybody with us. And particularly today, this is very important because, as I mentioned, and so many of us hear about this, September is Prevention Suicide Month. And we have to discuss this. Our panelists, our good friend, director of the Jesse Brown VA, Mark Miguel. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Cliff.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Great. And we're also pleased to have Michelle Langlois with us, who is the lead suicide prevention coordinator at Jesse Brown VA in Chicago. And obviously that's what we want to be talking about. Michelle is the lead suicide prevention coordinator at the VA here. She has been a social worker for 20 years with her main focus in crisis intervention and mental health. She has worked for our nation's veterans for 11 years with her previous service in crisis intervention with two major health care systems in Chicago, including a level one trauma center for a total of 12 years. Ms. Langlois, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Always start off with you. Tell us what's going on here, Mark.
Well, I tell you what, Cliff, this has been a real special month because, as you know, the subject of veteran suicide is very personal to me.
Sure.
And we talk about the 20 heroes that successfully take their life every day in this nation. That's 20 too many. And there's lots of things that we can do to better understand why that happens and to have programs that can prevent that. And so at Jesse Brown, we have a lot of those programs, and this is one of those things that it can make such a difference. And all the things that contribute to preventing suicide can make a difference in the lives of our veterans, their families, and we just are so proud of our staff and Michelle in particular. She's our lead. Mm-hmm. We've doubled the staff in the last couple of years, and wanted her just to kind of tell about some of the programs that we do have and Absolutely. Some of the outcomes and differences that those have made. Yeah.
There's so much of that going on. Michelle, again, thank you so much for being here. Tell us about your program and how many people are really needing this help.
We have six suicide prevention coordinators at Jesse Brown. As the director mentioned, we did double our team within the last 2 years, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So we have smaller caseloads so that we can give even more individualized attention to veterans that we're concerned about, that we've identified as high risk for suicide. So that is a big piece of what my program does. We also use a computer algorithm to also identify veterans that we might not see clinically or be identified as having additional risk as well. So one of our suicide prevention coordinators specifically monitors those veterans in addition to a list of veterans that have been clinically identified by providers that we feel are higher risk for suicide. We make sure that they are seen very frequently by their providers and also reach out to them as well to try to provide additional support, make sure they're connected and provide anything that we can help them with within the VA system. That can be mental health, that can be housing through our homeless program. We have health coaches through our whole health program, which is wonderful, so we're getting some of our veterans connected that way as well. We also do education for community providers because we know that some of our veterans, as the director mentioned, there's approximately 200 veterans who die by suicide per day. Only six of them are coming to the VA. And so we know that if we don't reach out to the community providers as well that are reaching out to the veterans, that we can't really reduce that number. So we do a lot of outreach where we work with community providers. We do education talks with our providers to teach them about how to identify a veteran that's in risk for suicide so that people know how to identify that, because this is a topic a lot of people aren't comfortable talking about. Mm-hmm. And when I do those engagements, a lot of people say, I didn't know that was something I should look for. Mm-hmm. So we want people to know what the signs and symptoms are mm-hmm. so that they can see that and recognize it, and then they can ask a veteran in need, you know, are you having thoughts of suicide? So that we can get that veteran access to care. Because, unfortunately, there is a stigma with mental health and suicide, so folks don't talk about it very much. So it's a pleasure to be able to talk about that today. So we want to provide a lot of information, not within all of our staff is educated in this, but also community providers and folks that work with veterans in the larger community in Chicago and Northwest Indiana.
I want to make sure our listeners know our call-in number, 312-374-8130, 312-374-8130. Michelle, we're talking about 20 per day?
That's approximately, yes.
That's, Director, that's, I'm sure most people are surprised to hear that.
Yeah, it's a number that we are very diligently working on.
Certainly, I know you are.
Yeah, it's one of the top five priorities for the VA is mm-hmm, suicide prevention.
Yeah.
And again, there's a lot of efforts across the country and with our community partners to reduce that.
I think what the numbers would be if it weren't for people like you folks, you know, it would be much higher. So what do we need to know, Michelle? What is the situation that working through, you know, with the VA, of course, what do we need to be, what are some of the signs and symbols that people listening might be able to see? Well, gee, maybe Uncle so-and-so, or is there anything that's that obvious?
Yes. Okay. A lot of things that people can notice. A lot of times when there's a major loss in people's lives, that can really trigger thoughts of suicide, and that can be for anybody. Mm-hmm. That can be a major loss of a relationship, a mm-hmm. loved one, a job, economics, situation. So major losses, history of trauma can be risk factors as well. So for folks, legal issues, a lot of things people don't realize is medical crises as well. People always think this has to be mental health. And actually, a lot of folks who die of suicide don't always have mental health diagnoses. So people who have chronic pain, people who have sleep disorders, people who might have chronic illness that really impacts their lives, terminal diagnosis, these things can impact people to start having thoughts of suicide. So if you see somebody in your life that you know that has one of these risk factors happen, and you hear that person talking very hopelessly, they might talk about feeling like a burden. That's a big red flag. People are a lot more comfortable talking about feeling like a burden than they are as disclosing they're having thoughts of suicide. Also, people might be getting their affairs in order. People sometimes will increase substance use. So if you see, even if somebody uses or drinks, but you see it's increasing and they're going through a pretty significant hard time, that's somebody to pay attention to. And a lot of times also people who might not have a lot of social support or they're isolating from their social support. So if you see somebody who's really struggling and they're isolating, that's somebody to reach out to and, and check on and see if they're okay.
So if you see somebody like that, you've given us some great information, Ms. Langwire. If you see somebody like that, and obviously, you know, they may not want to take a suggestion from me or somebody. How do you get them to somehow get some sort of treatment? What's the best way?
What's the best way to get treatment?
And I'm talking about veterans, of course.
Right. Well, there's a few things that you can do. If you talk to the veteran and they're being somewhat resistant to treatment and you're really worried about the veteran, if you feel like it's an imminent crisis and you feel like they really will do something kind of imminently, you know, definitely you can use 911. They can always be transferred to the VA if they go to their local emergency department. So that is your kind of trump card if you're really concerned of immediate safety. Another thing that we have in place through the VA, which I think is wonderful, is there is a hotline, and it's called Coaching Into Care. Their phone number, can I provide that?
Sure, absolutely.
888-823-7458. And Coaching Into Care is kind of a consultation line through the VA for folks, to friends, families, and other veterans, maybe talking to a veteran peer, trying to get them into treatment. And how can you work with that veteran who's maybe somewhat resistant to treatment and getting them into care? So it's a way where they can kind of help you problem solve how to, you know, coach that veteran into coming in to get some help. Another thing people can do is they can call the Veterans Crisis Line. You can call with a veteran, or you can always provide that number to the veteran. The Veterans Crisis Line phone number is 1-800-273-8255, and then you would press 1 to get to the Veterans Crisis Line. The good thing about that is they would get their call. They can also text. I want to mention that. Not everybody likes to talk on the phone, so they can text to 838-255. And the responders will answer the call and respond to the text immediately. And they will, the responders are not here locally. They're a national hotline. But they would deal with the call on hand, in the moment. And then what they do is they would refer that call to the local suicide prevention team. So I am actually the one who usually will follow up with those calls. So if somebody calls and they say, yes, I want to be referred to the local suicide prevention team at Jesse Brown, I would call that veteran back in the next business day, and I have 3 days to try to get a hold of that veteran in order to try to get them connected to care and get them right in for treatment. And that happened yesterday with one of our veterans. He called in. He just got discharged from the service in August, a month ago. He had not registered with the VA yet. He needed some mental health treatment. And we talked, and what we did was we scheduled an appointment for him the next day. He couldn't come in that day. We can see people the same day. I really want to stress that. If anybody wants to walk in, they can be seen the same day, which is phenomenal. You can't always do that in the private sector.
That's right.
So we offer that. He, because it was kind of late in the day, he asked to come the next day. I met him because he's never been at the VA before at the front door. Escorted him to get him registered. Well, we walked him into triage, and then we escorted him to our mental health assessment clinic. And he was able to see a clinician and a psychiatrist on the same day. So
that's amazing. That's
great. So it's a really good, really.
It really is. And this was someone who was just released from the service?
He was just released from the service, And one thing to mention is that one of the highest risk groups are veterans who just get discharged from the service for the first 12 months.
I can see that.
Yeah.
A whole change in your life, you know.
Yes. Yes, and so civilian life can be an adjustment.
Exactly, and particularly while you're in the service, there's never a problem about what you're supposed to do, you know what I mean, and being out there on your own. And In many instances, some of these folks don't have friends. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that was a question I did ask about support, and he doesn't feel he has any.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we definitely wanted to get him right away, so he felt some connection and some support. And we also got him connected with one of our social workers in our transition care management program as well to help with some of the benefits and resources that he was trying to get connected with as well since he's gotten out.
And a lot of our folks, and that's why we're always so pleased to have the boss here. There's so many things that we're just so fortunate to have. That's a great organization, Jesse Brown, because there's so many things that are offered that folks don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we love to have them come in, and that's the whole purpose of the show, you know, to America's Heroes Group, to make sure that people are aware, and we have our own number that we get information and refer people to Jesse Brown or wherever we think that they need to be. So this is just great information. And notwithstanding this, Ms. Langlois, notwithstanding all you're doing and the other people, you still got 20 a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is down from 22.
Yeah, at least
a couple of years ago.
Thing,
but again, 20 too many.
Yeah.
Very, very tragic. But you mentioned the availability of services. And again, at Jesse Brown, I'm so proud that we have such comprehensive number of services because all of the risk factors that Michelle talked about, we have a program or programs that can help in those areas. Some, of course, which are healthcare related, you know, again, the traditional, some of the mental health things that folks are seen for, or it could be substance abuse, alcohol abuse, addiction therapy, smoking cessation, but then some of the non-traditional things, you know, you mentioned we have family therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We have financial advice as far as legal aid, things like
that's
that.
That's great. Yeah.
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 I mean, and a lot of people call the crisis line for a lot of things triggering more housing loss, financial issues.
Sure.
They can't, you know, turn their electricity on now because they can't pay their bill. So, again, we have a lot of wonderful, wonderful social workers at the VA. We have phenomenal mental health programs and addiction programs. Our housing program is amazing. Our medical services. And I mentioned the whole health program. Mm-hmm. Those are alternative kind of ways of medicine.
Pain management.
And we have acupunctures now, I believe. And we have pain school. That's, you know, a pretty impressive pain school that we have and pain clinic. A lot of different programs that we can do to try to trigger or to kind of focus on some of those risk factors that can trigger people to having thoughts of suicide.
You know how I got involved with the acupuncture, Mark? It was funny. I was in China, and I'm not into pain, you know. I was in China, and I was sitting as close as I am to you, and this acupuncturist was pushing needles in this man's face. And he wasn't even flinching. And so later on, obviously much later, I had a problem and somebody suggested, maybe try acupuncture. I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Only because, you know, otherwise. And it worked perfectly.
It does.
Yeah, it works. It works, yeah. Well, I just think what you're doing, Michelle Langlois, is just great. And, of course, Mark, you folks just do such great work over at the Jesse Brown VA. Is there anything else particularly, since this is September, is Suicide Prevention Month, anything else, Michelle, we really want to...
The one other thing I would like to mention is that we have a Be There campaign going on there. So Be There for a Veteran.
What kind?
Be There. So it's hashtag
Be There.
Be there.
Okay.
Yes. So you can put in hashtag Be There. Mm-hmm. And really, people kind of feel like they have to do these really big things in order to try to reduce suicide, or they have to be a clinician to reduce that. And the little things go a long way. The feeling of connectedness with people actually can protect them from suicide. So
I believe that.
Buying them a coffee, sending a text, or an email saying, hey, how you're doing, and checking in, helping a veteran with their update their resume, or maybe watch mm-hmm. their children so they can go to an appointment at the VA. Mm-hmm. All these little things can really add up, and people don't feel like that does much, but it actually goes a really long way to protecting a veteran from suicide. So I encourage everybody to think of how you can be there for a veteran.
And the one thing I was so happy to hear, and I mentioned this to Mark earlier, that you know, when 4th of July comes,
yes,
and they have those announcements, you know, be aware of children. This time they added and vets, mm-hmm. which I was happy to hear that, because some people hear noises like that, am I right? And they have reactions. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Well, this has just been great. Michelle Langlois, she's going to get more and more people to listen to her, right? Isn't that right, Mark McGill?
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, Cliff, besides the Be There campaign, that leads right into that number that we talked about again, right. The 800-273-8255. Mm-hmm. Anyone can
that's
use
great.
That, veteran or not. And if you're concerned about a veteran, that's one way to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I used
I
to
love
say,
it.
You know, you might save a life, but I know for a fact you will save a life.
I love it.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To both of you. All right. Stay with us. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. And we'll be back with more right after this. America's Heroes Group.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the America's Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hey, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Us on Facebook and like us. Search WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago. You become eligible for special benefits. Think of us as your special friend with benefits. We're your hookup. 1690 WVON.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Chicago Regional Veteran Benefit Administration. And we are so pleased to have in our studio a gentleman who just does such a great job. We couldn't run these things without him. He knows that. That's why he always comes back. He is U.S. Turner, Veteran and SES Executive Director, Chicago VBA Regional Office. How are you, Hugh?
Fine, Cliff. Thanks for having us again.
Always a pleasure to have you. This is what this show is all about. Today we also have Herbin Morris with us, who is a veteran and vocational rehabilitation and employment officer with the Chicago Regional Office. Mr. Morris, thank you so much.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for being with us. He was appointed, Mr. Morris was appointed to this position in 2014 as the Chicago Regional Office Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Officer. Previously, he was the Assistant Vocational Rehab and Employment Officer at another regional office. He enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1981, served as a paratrooper. He's already told me to write. He was in the right division. He also served in Iraq and Saudi Arabia during Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and was also stationed in Bosnia. Herbert was a drill sergeant at Fort Jackson and retired from the military as his last duty station at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, in 2001. He also is a product of the VA's Chapter 31 program. His first VA position was in 2005. As a vocation rehabilitation counselor at the Detroit area. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm happy to be here. It's a pleasure.
I want to make sure that everybody also knows our call-in number is 312-374-8130. Hugh, we always let you start off on this. What are we going to talk about?
Well, this is a continuation from our last meeting with you all in terms of the services provided by our vocational rehabilitation and employment folks. If I can just set the stage, just put things in context. Herb has brought the operations up significantly in the Chicago area, where we're one of the top performers now in this field. When Herb first came to Chicago, it was a difficult station, difficult job to come to. But he's managed to do well regardless. And for a large portion of the last several years, he was down, what, five counselors?
Four counselors.
Yeah, yeah. And despite that, was still able to, you know, research the operations within the office and do well. And we're doing better now. And we're almost full up in terms of the number of counselors. And so that gives us the right recipe for increased success.
Numbers, yeah.
That's just so great. I just want to set the table there.
That's great. That's great. Hughes, we appreciate it. Mr. Morris, go right ahead. Help us.
Well, you know, being a product of this program, I mean, I really enjoy what I do because when I retired out of the military or close to retirement, I was trying to figure out what am I going to do once I get out. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of other veterans are going through that right now. So I found out about this program, enrolled, and one of the best things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. So I enrolled in the program, was able to get my degree, and became a counselor to do the same thing as my counselor at the time in the Voc Rehab program. So I started in Detroit as a counselor, worked for a couple of years, came back to Oklahoma as a counselor, then became assistant manager in Oklahoma, then came out here to Chicago. So I've been on all sides of the table, been a veteran, been a counselor, now a manager. So I just enjoy giving back. So I really enjoy what I'm doing.
And evidently you're being successful. Tell us how you go about that. Because as you stated, and you know, all of us that are veterans understand this, when you trying to make that decision, am I going to re-up, am I going to get out, you know, you have all kinds of thoughts going.
Yeah, you try to figure out, well, you know, how am I going to feed my family? I still have to pay the mortgage. I still have to pay the rent. So what I did, I enrolled. What you put into this program is what you get out of it. Okay. So basically I put 100% because this is it now. I don't have another option. I didn't have college prior to this. Mm-hmm. I was one of those hua-hua guys from the 82nd, didn't believe in school, didn't believe in college. People that go to school, you know, I always thought they were lazy. That's my thought process.
Airborne.
You know, they just didn't.
Yeah,
they just didn't.
Not everybody.
You know, they just didn't.
But
want
a lot.
To,
he's yeah. right. Yeah.
They just didn't want to work. That's where I view it. But then, you know, when it came to that time, I'm like, wait a minute, maybe those were the smart guys.
How many years did you put in?
20 years and 6 months.
Ooh.
20 years and 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So. This is the best thing decision I made mm-hmm. by going through Voc Rehab. So now I want to be a part of that to be able to give back to other veterans to help mm-hmm. them and to guide them and let them know, hey, you have to do the best, take advantage of it. This is just not a program where you go and you know you get some subsistence allowance and then you still don't go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Take a full advantage of it. It's a real great program.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do today is kind of talk about the five different tracks
Please.
Of the program.
Okay.
Okay.
That'll be great.
So the last time we discussed the overall, we talked about the program overall, but I just want to get on the specifics. For example, if you're found entitled to the program, you could get placed into one of five tracks. And the first one is reemployment, and that's normally for National Guards or reservists
mm-hmm.
who had a job prior to being deployed. So, let's for example, they go to combat, they get injured, they come back, and they have some kind of issue where they can't do their previous job. So, we could provide services to that veteran mm-hmm. by providing equipment or something to allow them to be able to do the job that they used to do previously. So that's reemployment. So we assist in that area as well
mm-hmm.
so by providing a reasonable accommodation,
mm-hmm. yeah.
special type of computer, chairs, whatever it is that they might need to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is something that they had done before.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Get back in the same job they had
yeah.
previously.
Right.
So we work with the employer to help them in that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the next one is rapid access to employment. This track is for folks that already have a college degree, some type of certification, or just don't want to go to school. School's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if a veteran comes and say, you know, I want to go to rapid access, I don't want to go to school, the first thing I ask the veteran is, what do you have to offer the employer?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say nothing, I'm like, well, we need to provide some training to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have something to offer the employer. But if you already have a degree, we'll assist them with straight employment, help them find a job.
So if they do have a degree, you can help them
yes.
find a job?
Yes. Yes.
And what about that other person that you were talking about who has not gone to school? What do you do with them in this instance?
Well, we'll send them to school. We provide them.
Okay.
Yes, we will.
Okay, just like
that. It's their option.
Yeah.
But I will let them know, you know, you need to have something offered the employer because
sure.
even if you get the job,
mm-hmm.
maybe a couple of years down the road, somebody else will come in with a degree,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have one. You might lose that job. So
mm-hmm.
you need to be able to keep the job as well. So
mm-hmm.
it's best to go ahead and get a degree
mm-hmm.
or something like that,
mm-hmm.
some type of certification.
Sure. Okay.
Then the other one is long-term training towards employment. This is the one we do the most. And basically we send them to school. We pay for everything. Tuition, fees, books, parking if needed, the gown. Veterans should not have to spend a dime in this process. We even provide you with a computer if needed. Okay? So, and this is the great thing about this track, unlike the GI Bill or education program, is that we monitor you through the entire program, provide guidance. You meet with your counselor. It could be once a month, once a semester, or once a year, depending on your need. If you need medical assistance, we'll provide it. We'll make referrals to the hospital to make sure you're seen, make sure you're taken care of while you're in the program to help you to become successful through the program.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Long-term training.
Long-term training.
And a veteran pays for nothing.
Nothing. You authorize up to 48 months of training.
Boy, that's great.
And you also get a subsistence or stipend while you're going through the program.
Okay, and stipend through the program.
Right. Now,
how many people know about this? Do the vets that are coming out, are they all made aware?
Yes, we provide information when they're getting out of the military, but you still have a lot of veterans that fall through the cracks that's not getting that information.
Yeah, I know.
Which
is why we like to do what we do here.
Because when I went through, I didn't know about it. I found out about it by accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I understand that part of it.
Yeah, because if you're going to be sent to school without costing you anything and then, and getting a stipend in addition to that.
Yeah. You know, before we paid what we call subsistence allowance.
Mm-hmm.
That was based on the number of dependents. Mm-hmm. So for every dependent, you get more money.
Mm-hmm.
But then the GI Bill, the veterans found, wait a minute, they're getting more money over here, the GI Bill, so I'm not going to go to Volk Rehab. But this is the program they needed because of their disability. So the VRNE changed it to where the veterans can now choose between the GI Bill rate, BAH rate, or the regular subsistence allowance. So they could choose. They could select which one they want to use, and it's based on the zip code of the training facility. So that's a good thing. So we could get to keep the veterans in this program that need to be in the program. And they don't have to worry about, well, I'm going to go over here because they pay more over there. Mm-hmm. They could stay and still get that money.
So they get an option.
They have an option.
Yeah, okay. They have an option, but are they made aware of this option?
I mean, yes. We provide them with that option during the orientation when they meet with the counselor. Mm-hmm. They have to sign the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, this, I want to select this option. But the only thing is you have to have some Chapter 33 time remaining in order to qualify to get that rate.
Okay.
Okay, but it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly sounds like it.
The good thing about this program is, you know, let's say a veteran's from New York, and just happen to be going through the program here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide, you know what, I want to move back home to New York, that's not a problem. We could transfer the case back to New York and continue the program there. So all they have to do is let their counselor know. We'll contact the receiving station. Hey, we have this veteran here that want to return home, and no problem. We transfer it back to that station. They could pick up the program there. So it's a good deal.
It certainly is. Herbert Morris, we are so pleased to have you giving us all this great information. It is really, really helpful to know that people have this ability to take advantage of all of these wonderful programs. I wonder how many of those who are actually eligible, Hughes, really take advantage of it. Do you have any way of tracking that?
I personally do not know, what those global figures may be. I do know that more information is getting out. We try to do that at the transition points now as people make a decision to leave uniform. I think the last time we were here, we mentioned that there was a notable here in Illinois. Senator Tammy Duckworth, who was a participant in the program here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And look what happened as a result of her participation in the program now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, she did all right, didn't she? That's great. So it's just that, Herbert, we don't really know. We know the successes, but we don't know how many people don't take advantage.
No, we don't know how many people don't take advantage.
Because I know you all reach out. That's what folks do well.
We do reach out, but part of the concern with some veterans with disabilities is that a lot of them don't want to be told what to do, so they go to the GI Bill. So they just go to school. But with us, we monitor you.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure you're getting your treatments and stuff like that. So a lot of them,
Just to make sure people understand that. And by the way, let me mention, too, our call-in number. Call-in number is 312-374-8130, if you'd like to ask these great gentlemen a question. Just to make sure, everybody knows about the GI Bill, but a lot of folks don't know exactly what that is, Mr. Morris, you know what I'm saying, as compared to the other. Can you just briefly say that?
Well, the GI Bill, there's more information out there about that. You see it on billboards.
Right.
Everywhere you go, you see it in commercials sometimes. Vierney, we're working on that.
Doing my last conference a couple months ago, that was one of the discussions we had, that we need to sell our program more, we need to publicize it more. Mm-hmm. So we're aware of the issue, and they're working on getting it out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So they're really working on pushing it out there now.
Let's take a caller for our guest. Emmanuel is with us. Emmanuel, thank you for calling America's Heroes Group.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thank you.
I always get a lot of great information from you guys, Cliff.
Thank you.
As a veteran, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of things I didn't know over the years, you know. And mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you telling me new stuff every time I listen. You know, I find out something new. You know, I've been a veteran, man, for 40 years now. I'm telling you, man,
it's
wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's helpful. And I appreciate you. And one other thing, Cliff,
mm-hmm.
I just love hearing your voice, man. And I miss you on regular daily radio. So it's my opportunity to catch you too. So thank you, and thank your guests for the great information. And I'm going to take advantage of everything y'all talk about.
Cool. You're great, man.
Make sure you do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to do that, my brother.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang up and listen to some more.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, yep.
America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Chicago Regional Veterans Benefits Administration. That's what we are doing right now. And we appreciate, of course, Emmanuel calling in and telling us that he's gets more information. And I want to tell you, Emmanuel, I'm a veteran. I get more information, too, you know. Yes.
We have two other areas we need to cover.
Right. Okay. Go right ahead. Uh-huh.
So we covered three tracks. There's mm-hmm. still two remaining. The other one is self-employment. There's some veterans that want to do self-employment.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let them know, most small businesses only last about 5 years. You have to be motivated. You have to have that drive. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of our tracks for those who want to do self-employment.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the requirements we ask is for the veteran to have a business plan. You have to have a business plan. Okay, and then we get them hooked up with the Small Business Administration that will assist them with that as well. We don't provide funds mm-hmm. for the business. We don't buy vehicles, buildings, and so forth. But we can provide some short-term training, help them with some type of certification or short-term training on business classes to help them to learn how to run a business. So that's another good track
mm-hmm.
that we have. And the last one is independent living services, and that track is for veterans whose disabilities are too severe to where they cannot work. So we assist them with providing independent living to help them, so they don't have to depend as much on their spouse or relatives or friends. We provide stuff like raised toilet seats, widen your doorways, reachers, mm-hmm. so things that you need to live more independently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to get you totally 100% independent, but we do our best to get you to that to the best point that we can.
So that's interesting. Well, the self-employment, that's a great thing.
Yes.
You're doing that and giving the help on that. But the independent living service, how does that work out? How do you determine what's needed and so forth?
Well, first thing, when we meet with a veteran, we first thing we do, are you entitled? If the answer is yes, then is it feasible for you to work? In other words, is your disability too severe for you to work? If it is, then we offer you independent living services.
Oh, see. Okay.
Right. So, right. If your situation is mm-hmm. so severe that you can't work, then we'll do an evaluation to see if you have a need first.
Gotcha.
Then if you have a need, then we'll provide that services to
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you
yeah.
have to.
Every
situation is different.
Yeah, every situation is different. Once we provide the equipment or services that you need, they will monitor you for 60 days, and we'll close out the case as a successful rehabilitation.
Well, that's
It's a lot there. Well, some very valuable programs.
Hughes, you got that right. That is just great. Herbert Morris, you're really giving us some great information here, because I guess it's safe to say that there, as far as a veteran coming out, there isn't anything that you can't address.
I mean, this program is here for you. I mean, when I found this this is the best thing that happened to me. I have no regrets about not going to college while I was in the military, because mm-hmm. everything worked out just perfect for me mm-hmm. after I left the military. So mm-hmm. it's a great program. Great program.
That's wonderful. Mr. Turner, what else do we need to talk about?
Well, it's eligibility is important, mm-hmm. and you know, I always try to close out with a reminder for those individuals who are departing the military to ensure that they get a copy of their personnel records.
That's right.
And their medical records.
Because
it's all about documentation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes things get misplaced. I haven't seen anybody mm-hmm. that tries to intentionally, you know, misplace anybody's records.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those things happen. And at least a veteran who has taken the time to obtain a copy of the personnel records and the medical records will have that documentation mm-hmm. With them.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely critical.
Because that's going to be asked for right away.
Yes.
Yeah. We've certainly gone through that. That's. I just think that this is why America's Heroes Group is so pleased to have our connection we have with the VA, because you know, a lot of folks would never get this information. You know, as a veteran, you know, all of these things that I found out about, I didn't know about, you know. And it's an amazing thing.
Well, it's been an evolution, too. I mean, not dating us on here.
Right.
Depending on when we left service,
yeah.
Some of the programs now are more robust.
Sure. Okay.
Is a good way of characterizing
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And so, you know, and I think that the veterans that are leaving the service now are a little more aware of a lot of the benefits that are out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Much more so than previous generations. And in particular, when you look at the Vietnam generation, Korean War generation, and World War II generation,
mm-hmm.
The ones that are getting out now are much more savvy, I think, mm-hmm. in terms of mm-hmm. an appreciation for those benefits that are out there for them.
Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's exactly right. How are we doing on numbers as far as people coming into the service?
Well, as far as Volk Rehab, we're on a slight decline, and I guess it's because of part of it is because of the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of them don't want somebody to monitor them on a monthly basis, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on that. We're really trying to get the word out, and we're doing things like this to make sure the information get out so the veterans get the word. We do a lot of outreach to make sure we get the word out to veterans that we're here to help you. We want to help you, but you got to come in and see us. You have to apply, bring all your documentation in mm-hmm. when you come in. Let us know. So we need to know every issue you have so we can help you. You know, there's no need in trying to hide the information from us. That's what we need to help you.
That's right.
If we don't know, we can't
exactly.
help you.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. Brother Turner, do we have any – I don't know whether you all would even have the use of that. I'm just wondering how many people are enlisting as compared to
– Yeah, that's beyond our scope.
I know it is. I didn't know
of information, but the
reason you're so bright, I just think you know everything.
Well, I don't want to misinform the public, and
you'll know
that's probably not a true statement from Cliff Kelly.
But anyway,
the one thing that I have read is that it's becoming increasingly more difficult of late to recruit.
Okay.
And a lot of that has to do with the current job market.
Yeah, okay.
When the job market is very strong mm-hmm. in the private sector,
obviously.
It becomes more difficult, I mm-hmm. think, as a general rule, to recruit folks mm-hmm. into the uniformed services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're seeing that now.
That doesn't have anything to do with the present commander-in-chief, I'm sure.
Everybody's smiling. Okay. You folks are great. You really are. You're great. Thank you, Hughes Turner, as always. Herbert Morris, keep up the great work.
Appreciate Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. It's great, great, great work. Stay with us now. We'll be back with more right after this.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics?